This is Shimon Newbort with Hilchos Shabbos, Chapter 6. This chapter contains 25 halachas, and the subject matter is those circumstances under which it's permitted and circumstances under which it is forbidden to have a goy, a non-Jew, do a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos. Halacha Aleph, Osa loyma lenochri lasis lonu malacha b'Shabbos. It is forbidden for us to tell a goy on Shabbos to do a malacha for us. Afal pi she'ene mitzuva la Shabbos, even though the goy is not commanded to keep Shabbos, nevertheless we may not tell him that. V'afal pi she'oma loy mikoidem haShabbos, and even though the Jew does not tell it to the goy on Shabbos, the Jew is not doing anything on Shabbos either, he tells the goy before Shabbos to do a malacha for him on Shabbos, it's forbidden. V'afal pi she'ene tzorich loyse malacha ela liachar Shabbos, and even though the Jew is not going to make any use of the malacha on Shabbos, he's only going to use the results of the malacha after Shabbos, nevertheless it's forbidden. V'davar zeh osu midivrei soifrim, and this prohibition is by rabbinical prescription, kedesh aloi tia Shabbos kala b'yeinehem, so that people will not come to treat Shabbos lightly. If we can tell a goy to do malocha, then the whole idea of malocha on Shabbos is treated lightly, v'yavoyu la'asis ba'atzmam, and people will end up doing the malocha themselves. Halocha beis, nochri sh'osa malocha me'atzmei b'Shabbos, if a goy did a malocha by himself on Shabbos, on his own, and a Jew didn't tell him to do it, in b'shvil Yisroel osa oisa, if he did it for a Jew, he did it on behalf of a Jew, osa lehonis boisa malocha, it's forbidden to have any use of the results or the product of that malocha ad meitzoi Shabbos, until after Shabbos is over, and not immediately after Shabbos, v'yamtin b'chdei sh'teyosa. He has to wait after Shabbos long enough to have done the malacha after Shabbos. V'hu shelo yehei hadova b'farhesia. And even then, he's only permitted if it's something that's not public. If it's not something that's public, where everybody knows that this thing was done for this Jew on Shabbos. However, if the goy, when he did it, he didn't do it at all for the Jew, he did it entirely for his own purposes, mutalehonis ba b'Shabbos, then it's permitted to make use of it even on Shabbos itself. Halocha gimel keitzad, how do we apply this rule? Nochri shehidlik es haneir, if a goy lit a candle for himself to use to light himself, mishtamish la'oire Yisroel, then a Jew may also make use of the light of that candle. V'im b'shvil Yisroel, however, if he lit it for the Jew, also then a Jew may not use that light. Also nochri kevish leirid boi min asfina, if they were on a ship, and the goy made a ramp, a gangplank, to go down from the ship onto land, yered achrav Yisroel, since the goy made it for himself to go down with, so once the gangplank is put up, a Jew can also go down after the goy. V'im b'shvil Yisroel, if however it was made for Jews to go down from the ship, also then Jews may not go down from the ship on Shabbos. Mile mayim lahashkis behemta, if he filled up some container with water to give his own animals to drink, the goy did that, mashke Achrav Yisroel, and there was extra water left there. The animals of the goy did not drink up all the water, there was some left. Then a Jew can let his animals drink afterwards too. The imbishvil Yisroel, if however the water was filled up in the container for a Jew, also then it's forbidden to use the water. Likit asovim lahachil lebehemtoi, if the goy gathered some grasses, picked some grass to feed his animal, maniach Yisroel behemtoi lechil mehem, and there is extra, then a Jew may let his animal also eat from those grasses. This is permitted, however, where there's extra water or extra grass, only if the Jew, if the goy and it does not know the Jew, the two do not know each other, Shema Yarba Bimlachte Bishviloi, because since we see that there is extra here, otherwise there wouldn't have been anything left over for the Jew to give to his animal to eat or drink, so we're afraid that since the two know each other, the goy may pick extra grass or take extra water for the Jew. V'nimtzu oisa b'shvil Yisrael. It ends up that this extra was done for the Jew. V'chein kol dovish efshel laharb isboy. And so the lawyers, in any case where it's something that he, the goy, could have done something extra for the Jew, lo yehone boy b'shabbos elam kineini mekirei, then you may not make any use of it on Shabbos unless the Jew and the goy do not know each other. If they don't know each other, then there's no reason for the goy to take extra for the Jew. And we know that if there is extra, it just happens to be left over. Halacha dalet aval dover she'ein boy lahar b'sulamayit. However, if we are talking about some situation where there's no question of doing more or less, for example, lighting the candles, you don't light a candle more or light a candle less, the same lighting of the candle can be used for one person or more than one person, for kevish, or putting the ramp, the gangplank down from the ship, which you put the same thing down whether one person is going or many people are going to go one after the other. Since the goy did it for himself and there's no way he could have done extra for the Jew, then a Jew can make use of it afterwards, b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, and even though the goy knows this Jew because he couldn't have done anything extra for it. For the Jew, ne'er hadolik b'mesiba b'Shabbos, if a candle is burning in a large hall on Shabbos where there are many people gathered, im roiv Yisroel, if the majority of the people there are Jews, osur lehishtamish loira, you're not allowed to use the light of these candles, even though it was lit by goyim, shahamadlik al das harayv madlik, because the one who lit the candles lit it having in mind that it was being done for whoever constitutes the majority. He thought about the majority, since the majority here are Jews, so he did it with the Jews in mind. V'yemirayv nochrim, if the majority of people here are goyim, mutar lishtamish loira, then it's permitted to use the light, because whoever lit them, the goy who lit them, had in mind the goyim. Mechza lemechza, if the Jews and the Goyim are exactly half and half, also then it's forbidden. Noflad leka b'Shabbos uva nochri lechabis, if a fire breaks out on Shabbos and a Goy comes along and wants to put out the fire, here we're not talking about a case where there's danger to life, we're talking about a case where there's only danger to property. A Goy wants to put out the fire, einoimrim loikabe, we're not allowed to tell him put it out, because you can't tell a Goy to do a malach on Shabbos, but we need not tell him, don't put it out. We need not stop him from putting it out, even though he's putting it out for us. Because we are not required to see that a goy refrains from malacha. We're not allowed to tell him to do a malacha, but if he comes to do it for us on his own, we're not required to tell him in this case. And so the law in any similar case. Halacha hey. Mace, Sha'osuloi Nochrim Arin, if somebody died, a Jew died, and Goyim made a casket for him, v'chofruloi kever, and they dug a grave for him, b'Shabbos on Shabbos, or heviuloi chalilin lispeid b'hem, or they brought flutes specifically to recite the dirge for this Jew who died. It used to be the custom that at a funeral they would play music on the flutes and they would sing a funeral song, a dirge. Then if the Goyim brought all this for the Jewish funeral, imbitzina, if it was done discreetly and privately, yamtin b'chdeisha yasul l'maitzoi Shabbos v'yikover boy, then like any malacha that was done by a Goy on Shabbos for a Jew, they have to wait until after Shabbos, until long enough for it to have been done after Shabbos, and then you can bury the Jew using this casket and this grave and using these flutes. V'im hoya hakever b'sratya gedoylo. If, however, the grave was dug in a large open public place, v'ha'orin al gabav, and the casket was also made over there next to the grave, v'chaloivrim v'shovim, and everybody knows about it, all the passers-by, oivrim, they know about it, and they say, shezeh, sha'anochim, oisim, achshav, b'shabes, l'tloinihu, they know and they say, this grave grave and this casket that are being made now on Shabbos is being made for this and this Jew, then that Jew should never be buried in that casket, in that grave, because this is done in public, and it is a disgrace for the deceased Jew that everyone knows that the malacha was done on his behalf on Shabbos. However, it's permitted to bury some other Jew on it because in that place, because there'll be no disgrace, since people now will not be talking about it. However, even in that case, if they're burying another Jew there, it may not be done after Shabbos until they wait long enough to have done it after Shabbos. And so the law in any similar case. Halacha Vov. Nochri shehevi chalilin b'Shabbos lameis, a goy who brought flutes on Shabbos for a Jewish funeral when a Jew was the deceased, afal pisha heviyin mitzat hachoyma, even though we see that where did he bring it from? He brought it from right outside the walls of the city. Yamtin lemitzoy Shabbos b'chdei sheyovi mimokim koriv. We do not say that after Shabbos we have to wait only the few seconds that it takes to carry it in from outside the city to inside the city, but we have to wait long enough to have brought it from the next closest city. And only thereafter can the funeral dirge be played with these flutes. Shema balayla haviyu mimokim acher at hachoyma, because even though we saw that all the goy did was bring it from outside the wall inside, we don't know for a fact that that's where he brought it from. Possibly he brought it during the night from some other city at hachoyma, and he brought it up to the wall, and since the walls of the city, the gates are locked at night. He stood there at night, and in the morning he came in with the flutes. If, however, we know for certain that the flutes were brought from a certain specific place, we know exactly where they came from, then we have to wait after Shabbos long enough to have brought them from such specific place. And even then it's permitted only if it's not done in a big public place where everybody knows about it, as we already stated in the previous halacha. Halacha Zayin, Irsha Yisrael v'nochrim darim b'teicha, a city where there are Jews and Goyim both living in that city, v'hoisa ba merchetz hamarchetzes b'Shabbos, and there there was a bathhouse operated by Goyim, and the bathhouse operates even on Shabbos. People can bathe there, and the water therefore was heated on Shabbos for the people who bathe. If most of the people there are Goyim, then immediately after Shabbos is over, Jews may go in there and bathe there, because since, as we said, the malacha was done on behalf of whoever constitutes the majority, so the water was heated for the Goyim, and therefore the Jews may use it after Shabbos immediately. If, however, the majority are Jews, then the water was heated with the Jews in mind. Yamtin b'chdei sheyechmu hachamim Bishvil Haroiv Huchamu. Then after Shabbos we must wait long enough that you could have heated up the hot water after Shabbos, because it was heated on Shabbos for the majority. Mechza leMechza, if the people here are half and half, half Jews and half Goyim, Yamtin b'Deishayechemu Hachamin. Then you have to wait long enough to have heated the water, just as if the majority were Goyim. V'chein kol kayetzim b'zen, so the law in any similar case. Halochaches Yisrael Shomer leNochri. If a Jew tells a goy to do a specific malacha for him on Shabbos, which he was not permitted to tell him, afal pisha ovar, even though the Jew has committed a sin, and by rabbinical law he is to be beaten with a flogging, a whipping, as prescribed by rabbinical law, nevertheless, mutaloy lehonis boisa malacha lo erev, he is nevertheless permitted to make use of what was done with that malacha at night after Shabbos, Shabbos, achas sheyamtin b'chdei sheteyose, so long as he waits long enough to have done the malacha after Shabbos. V'lo yosu b'chol mokim sheyamtin b'chdei sheyasu, elam b'pnei dover zeh. And all the cases where we said that you have to wait long enough for the malacha to have been done, what is the reason? The sole reason for having to wait is for this reason. She'in toima yehei muta miyad, because if we would permit it immediately after Shabbos, she'mayoymar lenochri lasis loy, then we're afraid he'll tell a goy to do it for him, because then he'll have it ready. Ve'yimtza adava muchan miyad. Why would he tell a goy to do it on Shabbos when he is not allowed to use it on Shabbos? So that he'll have it ready immediately after Shabbos. Ve'kivin she'osru ad she'yamtin b'chdei she'yasu, and now that they've forbidden it until you wait long enough to do it after Shabbos, loyoymar lenochri lasis loy, he has no reason to tell a goy to do it for him on Shabbos. Because he gains nothing thereby, because after Shabbos at night, that is, he has to wait anyway long enough to have done this thing which was done on Shabbos. Some activity which is not a malacha, ve'enei osa la'asoiz v'shabes ela mishum shvus, it's not one of the activities which the Torah forbids, it's forbidden on Shabbos only by rabbinical law. Mutal Yisrael loyma lenochi la'asoizi b'shabes, now a Jew is permitted to tell a goy to do it on Shabbos, because since the whole activity is only forbidden by rabbinical law, and telling a Jew to do even a malacha is forbidden only by rabbinical law, we do not combine these two rabbinical laws and forbid it. However, it's not permitted in every case. It's only permitted if someone is ill, even if he's only slightly ill, or it's some emergency where the thing is needed very urgently, or the thing is needed for a mitzvah. Then it's permitted to tell a goy to do something which would be forbidden for a Jew only by rabbinical law. Halacha yud, keitzad, for example, oime Yisrael lenochri b'Shabbos la'alus lois b'ilon, a Jew may tell a goy on Shabbos to climb up a tree. Climbing up a tree is forbidden only by rabbinical decree. Oy loshut al pnei hamayim, or he can tell a Jew to swim across the water. He can tell a goy, I'm sorry, to swim across the water, which is forbidden only by rabbinical decree. He can tell him to do these things if he's telling him to do it to bring him a shofar, which he needs on Rosh Hashanah, which fell on Shabbos, or isakin lamilo, or to bring him a knife to perform a circumcision, because both of these are cases of mitzvah. Or maybe loy mechotze mechotze she'ein eruv beinehem. Or he can tell a goy to bring, not in the public place, which is a full malacha, but to bring from one courtyard to another courtyard, which have not been joined properly, as we will learn later on in Hilchas Shabbos and in Hilchas Erevin. They have not been joined, and by rabbinical decree it's forbidden to carry from one to the other. You can tell him to bring him hot water, in order to bathe a small child where it's urgently needed, or someone who needs to be bathed because he is uncomfortable, he's in great discomfort. So since this is a case of some minor emergency, it's also permitted. And so the law in any similar situation. Eretz Yisrael min anochri, one who purchases a house from a goy in Eretz Yisrael, muta loyma lanochri lichtev leishtar b'Shabbos, he's permitted to tell the goy to write the bill of sale, the deed, on Shabbos, even though this is a full melocha. Because the telling the goy is forbidden only by rabbinical decree, and here in order to, since this will cause the land of Israel to be populated by Jews, therefore in such a specific case they did not forbid it. And similarly, the law of someone buys a house from them in Syria. Eretz Yisrael generally means the three provinces of Judea, which is the West Bank, and Galilee, and the East Bank of the Jordan River. Syria is a province which is, strictly speaking, not in Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of many laws that we will learn. It's the province that is to the north and northeast of Eretz Yisrael, but nevertheless, Syria, Eretz Yisrael, in this particular case, Syria is treated like Eretz Yisrael. Halacha Yud Beis. A person may make a contract with a goy to do a certain work for him, and he specifies the fee, the amount of money that's to be paid for doing this work. And now, since the goy is doing it under contract for a fee, so the goy is doing it on his own. The goy does it whenever he feels like it, since he has undertaken the whole job, and now it's his job to do it. And even if he does it on Shabbos, Mutar, the Jew may make use of it. Since the goy is now not doing it for the Jew, he does not present it to the Jew till the job is finished. Now he's doing it for his own to fulfill his contract. Similarly, if someone hires a goy for a period of many days, for a period of time, mutar, it's permitted, afal pishuoysa b'shabbos, even though he's working for him on Shabbos also. Ketzad, for example, how do we apply these rules? Kegoyin shesocha hanochri l'shona oy l'shtayim, if a Jew hired a goy for a period of a year or 2 years, sheyichtev loy, to write for him whatever he needs written, or sheyerig loy, or to do whatever weaving he needs, hariza koisei v'yoyrig b'shabbos, the goy can write and the goy can weave for him on Shabbos, umutar, and he can use whatever has been written or woven, as if he had given him a specific job that he's contracted with him to write a certain book for him, or sheyerig loy beged, or to write to weave a specific garment, shehu oisa b'cholei sheyirza. And then, as we learned at the beginning of this halacha, he could do it any time he wants. U'shalo yachshiv ima yoim yoim. And in all these cases, it's permitted only if he does not pay him by the day. That is, he doesn't come each day and say, "Give me today's wages." If he's paying him for the lump sum of a period of time, or the lump sum for a whole job, then it's permitted. Halacha Yud Gimel, Bamed Dvorim Amurim, when do we say that it's permitted under the conditions that we learned in Halacha Yud Beis? Bitzina, if it's done discreetly and privately, Sheimakirim HaKoyul Shezu HaMelocha HaNazis B'Shabbos Shal Yisraeli, that people are unaware that this Melocha that the Goy is doing is being done on Shabbos for this Jew. Avol im hoisa yedua gluya b'fusemis, if however everybody knew it was a public thing that everybody knew about asura, then it's forbidden. Because the person who sees the goy doing it for the Jew, and he knows it's being done for the Jew, the person who sees it does not know that he made a contract with him, and therefore the goy is not only performing what he has to do under his contract. The one who sees it thinks that he simply hired him to do it for him on Shabbos. Halacha Yudalid Lefichach, and therefore Apisikim Anochi Livnis Loi Chatzera Yoikosloi, since we may not do it when everybody knows, therefore if someone contracts with a goy to build his courtyard for him, or to build a wall for him, or Liktzer Esadeu, or to harvest his field, or Shesochri Shono Ishtayim. So here in the first cases that we learn, he has contracted with him for a specific job. We ordinarily it would be permitted. Or he hired him for a year or for 2 years to build in his courtyard, or to plant a vineyard for him. So he is hired him for a prolonged period of time, and on the rules of Halacha Yud Beis, it would be permitted for him to do it on Shabbos. But if this is being done in a field or a vineyard or a courtyard that's in the city, or within the boundaries of the city, also then he's forbidden to allow the goy to do it for him on Shabbos, because the people who see it, who do not know that there was a contract made here. If, however, it was done in a field that's outside the boundaries of the city, mutar, then it's permitted, she'ain sham Yisrael, she yina, es ha-peilin, because since it's outside the boundaries where a Jew may walk on the Shabbos, therefore there are no Jews there who see the workers working on Shabbos, kishay moisim b'Shabbos, when they're doing it on Shabbos. Halocha tezvov, v'chein muta lo'adam lahaske karma yisodeu lanachri. Similarly, a person may rent out his vineyard or his field to a goy, afal pishu zeirem v'noitam b'Shabbos, even though the goy is planting the seeds, or he's planting trees on Shabbos, Shaharoya Yoidea Sheshurim Haim, Oy Barisus Nosan Lahem, and even though everyone knows that it's the field of this Jew, he knows that it's not being planted for the Jew, he knows that it's been rented out, or it's been done on a sharecropper's contract, and that's the way he did it, because that's the customary way of doing it. V'dover she'shem Yisrael bolov kori olov. However, any case where everybody knows the name of the Jew to whom the property belongs, where the work is being done, and it's not the customary thing for most people in that place to rent out the field, or to give it in a share cropping contract, also lahaskiri, then it's forbidden to rent it out to the goy, because the goy does melocha on Shabbos in that place, and everybody knows that it belongs to this Jew who owns it, and people are not aware that he rented it out to him, since that's not the custom. It's permitted to lend utensils or to rent them to a goy, and even though the goy uses them for malocha on Shabbos, and it's the kelim of a Jew, utensils that belong to a Jew are being used, because we are not obligated to see to it that no malacha is done by our utensils. As a matter of fact, we learned that in certain cases you can leave the fire burning and the food can be cooking on it. In certain cases, we learned in the last chapter, we learned that you can light candles, and in fact you are obligated to light candles on Friday, even though they continue to burn on Shabbos. Aval behem tevavdei, however, one's animals or one's slaves, also we may not rent them out to a goy, because we are obligated to see that our animals and our slaves refrain from work on Shabbos. One who forms a partnership with a goy to do a certain job, or to handle certain merchandise, or they own a store in partnership, im hisnu betchila, if originally when they formed the partnership they made a stipulation, she is chashabas lenochri levadei, that the income that's earned on Shabbos will belong exclusively to the goy, regardless of whether it's a little bit or a lot, the goy will exclusively take the income of Shabbos, and then the income of some other day that's been specified will be in lieu of the work on Shabbos, and that will belong to the Jew exclusively, mutar. Then it's permitted, because now the day that the Jew gets is not being got in payment for the Shabbos that the goy got, and therefore the Jew is enjoying the Shabbos because he gets a day because the goy got the Shabbos day. Since to begin with, this is the stipulation they made, so to begin with the Shabbos belongs to the goy, and to begin with this other day belongs to the Jew. If, however, they did not originally make this stipulation when they formed the partnership, then when they are about to divide the profits, since the Jew may not take any earnings that were earned on Shabbos, so the Jew takes the earnings, the goy takes the earnings of the Shabbos, the full earnings of the Shabbos goes to the goy exclusively, and then the rest is divided evenly, and nothing is given extra to the Jew in lieu of what the goy took exclusively, in consideration of the Shabbos which was given to the goy. It can only be done if they originally made that stipulation. And similarly, if they rented out a field That is, they rented it from someone else in order to work it in partnership. Din Echotu, it also follows the same rule. Halacha Yudches, v'im loy hisnu, if they did not have a stipulation in advance, uvo lachlik hasocher, and they can now come to divide the profits, and as we said before, the profits of Shabbos have to go exclusively to the goy, and then they divide the rest of the profit equally. They were unable to distinguish exactly how much was earned. They didn't have careful records of each day, and they don't know how much was earned on Shabbos and how much was earned the rest of the days. It seems to me, the Rambam says, so we estimated by giving the goy exclusively 1/7 of the income, and then the other 6/7 are divided 3/7 each. If one gives money to a goy to do business with, and he will get a share of the profit, even though the goy is conducting his business on Shabbos, he's conducting it with Jewish money, nevertheless, this doesn't matter. They can divide equally the profit that was made. And so all the goyim have stipulated that this is the law. Halacha yutes, lo yitein odah be'erev Shabbos kelim l'umen nochri la'aseisam. A person may not give on Friday his utensils to a goy who is a artisan, a craftsman, to make it for him or to repair it for him, even though he has contracted with him for the whole job. And we have learned in Halacha Yud Beis that it's permitted for the goy to do it for him on Shabbos. He may not do it, if it's a case where the goy came to the Jew's house to pick up the job and then take it to his own premises and do it, it cannot be done unless the goy departs and leaves the Jew's premises on Friday before it got dark. Similarly, a Jew may not sell his belongings to a goy, nor may he lend it to him, nor may he lend him money, nor may he give him some article as a security for a loan, v'lo yitin lo b'matana, nor may he give him any gift, ela b'chdei sheyetzei bo'isi chevetz mipesach b'isi chodem haShabbos, unless it's done early enough that the goy leaves his premises before Shabbos starts. Shekol zman shu b'vesei, because so long as the goy is in the Jew's house with the objects that he's going to remove, nobody can know, since it was done in the house, people outside do not know when it was given to the goy. And when the goy goes out of the Jew's house on Shabbos, and he's carrying some belongings of the Jews in his hand, it looks like he lent it to the goy, or he gave him the security pledge, or he made the contract with him on Shabbos. If someone gives a letter to a goy to carry to another city, he gives it to a goyish mailman, if he specified with him the fee that would be paid for taking it, then it's permitted, because this is a case of his having contracted for the job and he's carrying it on his own. And even if he gave it to him Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, just before dark, however, as we said in the previous halacha, he can only do it then if the goy actually departs from his premises before Shabbos starts. However, if he did not specify the fee, then the rule is as follows. If there is in that city a certain specific person who is a postmaster, and he collects all the letters, and he sends it out to every other city with his agents, his messengers, then you're allowed to give the goy this letter. And then it's only permitted if there's enough time so that he can get to the first house outside the city before Shabbos begins. Because this postmaster may have his house near to the walls of the city, and therefore it has to get there before Shabbos begins. However, if there is no person who is specified as being the postmaster, when he gives the letter to the goy doesn't take it to the postmaster. The goy to whom he gives it is the one who takes it to the other city and he delivers it. Then it's never permitted to send the letter by this goy unless he has contracted with him for the specified sum. Because otherwise the goy is carrying it for the Jew. However, in the case of the postmaster, since he collects all the letters, so he's doing everything for everybody and not specifically for the Jew. If a goy brought his belongings on Shabbos, and he brought them into the house of a Jew, mutar, it's permitted to... for the Jew to allow him to leave him there. And even if the Jew didn't just let him put it down, but he told him specifically, here, put it in this corner, it's also permitted. And we can invite a goy to our house on Shabbos, and we can put food in front of the goy to eat it, even though it's possible that the goy will pick it up and walk out, he's carrying on Shabbos. Nevertheless, in Notlam V'yotza, we put it down for him to eat, and if he picks it up and goes out with it, we don't have to pay any attention to him, because we're not responsible for what the goy does, since he took it out, and we're not responsible for his refraining from Malocha on Shabbos, and he's taking it out for himself to eat. Similarly, we can put food in front of a dog in the courtyard, and if the dog picks it up and carries it outside and to finish eating it, we don't have to worry about it. And even though the dog belongs to a Jew, because when we said that we are responsible that the animals will not do a malocha, that means we're responsible not to have the animals do work for us, but to hear the dog took it out for his own purposes. Halochichov beis, mishahoya baba derech, if someone was traveling along the road, v'kiddush olav hayoyim, and it was late on Friday and Shabbos began, and he has money with him, then he gives his purse to a goy to carry it for him, and when Shabbos is over he can take it back from him. And even though he never paid him for it and is not a contract, the goy is specifically and deliberately doing the work for the Jew, he's carrying the purse for the Jew, and ordinarily that's forbidden, and even though he gave it to him once it's dark, according to the Rambam's opinion, mutar, this is also permitted. Why did they permit it? Ordinarily such a thing would be forbidden. Because people are always excited about their money, and they're always nervous about their money. And there's no way that we can expect him to throw his money away. So what is he going to do if Shabbos arrives and he's carrying money? If you would not permit him to give it to a goy to carry, which is only forbidden by rabbinical decree, if here they did not relax their decree and they forbid him to give it to the goy, then he's going to end up carrying it by himself, because people don't throw their money away, and he'll be doing a malocha which is forbidden by the Torah itself. When do we say this, that it's permitted to give the money, the purse, to a goy? If it's his own purse, then we are afraid, since he stands to lose money thereby, he will not throw his purse away and he'll end up carrying it. Aval mitzia lo yitin lenochri. However, if it's money that he's found, then he will not, and then he stands to lose what he found. Lo yitin lenochri. He's not allowed to give it to a goy. So what should he do? Ala melicha pochas pochas miar ba'amis. He should carry it little by little, that is less than 4 cubits at a time. Since the amount that's forbidden to carry in a public place is 4 cubits, he should carry it less than 4 cubits, then stop, then go again less than 4 cubits, and then stop. And even though ordinarily we forbid this also because we're afraid he may go more than 4 cubits, but here, since this is an unusual case, a case of finding things, therefore the Rambam feels that in this case the prohibition does not apply. Halacha Chof Gimel, Yisrael Shosa Malacha B'Shabbos, if a Jew does work on Shabbos, till now we discussed a goy doing work for a Jew on Shabbos. If a Jew himself does work on Shabbos, im avar osa bezotin, if he committed a sin, he did this willfully, osa leilehones b'yosem malacha li'olam, then he is never permitted to have any benefit, any use of that malacha. U'shar Yisrael, however, other Jews, mutalam leihones b'yosem mitzoy Shabbos miyad, they are permitted to have use of it immediately after Shabbos. They don't have to wait long enough for it to be done after Shabbos, because here we're not afraid that you'll tell a Jew to do a malacha on Shabbos. Shenemar shmartem es haShabbos ki kodeshi. Why do we say that it's permitted? Why shouldn't we forbid work that was done on Shabbos to be used at all by other people? Because the Torah specifies ushmartem es haShabbos ki kodeshi. You shall keep the Shabbos, for it is holy. He kodesh, that is, the Shabbos is holy. Ve'ein maaseh kodesh. But the things that were done on Shabbos do not become sanctified and forbidden. Ketzad, an example of how we apply these rules. Yisrael Shabishal Shabbos Bemezid, if a Jew cooked on Shabbos willfully, knowing that it's forbidden, Lemeitzoi Shabbos, after Shabbos is over, Yeochel Acherin, other people can immediately eat this cooked food, Avaloi Lo Yeochel Leolamis, but he himself may never eat it. Vimbishal Bishgoge, if he cooked it unwillingly, unknowingly, that is, he forgot that it was forbidden, or he forgot it was Shabbos, L'meitzoi Shabbos, then right after Shabbos is over, Yoichal, Bein Hu, Bein Acherim, both he and others may eat it miyad, immediately. Pein Kol Kayotzi Bazan, so the case in any other Malacha, Halacha Chav Dalet, Peir Sheyotzu Chutz Latchum, fruits that were carried outside the boundaries where it's permitted to carry on Shabbos, or where it's permitted to walk on Shabbos, v'chozru, and then they were brought back in. Things that to begin with came from outside the boundary may not be used on Shabbos, but here they were inside the boundary, they were carried out, and then they were brought back in. B'shoigig, if it was done unknowingly, yochlu b'Shabbos, they may be eaten on Shabbos itself. Even though in the previous halacha we said that who does a malacha on Shabbos unknowingly, it may not be eaten till after Shabbos, but here they may be eaten even on Shabbos. Sharei leinase begufen maaseh v'lo nishtanu, because no malacha was done in the fruits itself to do anything to the fruits itself. In the previous halacha we spoke about cooking, so the raw food was turned into cooked food, but here the same fruit that was here inside the boundary is still the same fruit that's inside the boundary. B'mezit, however, if it was carried out and then back in willfully, lo yochlu ad matzoy Shabbos, they may not be eaten till after Shabbos. Halacha chafei, asoicher es apoyel lishmoyler es hapara ves atinek, if someone hires a worker to, here the worker can even be Jewish, not, doesn't have to be a goy. If he hires a worker to do something which is not a malacha at all, something which is permitted on Shabbos, he hires him to watch, for example, to watch a cow for him, or vesatinik, or a babysitter to watch a child for him, a governess to take care of a child. Nevertheless, he is not allowed to pay him for the Shabbos. One may not earn money on Shabbos, and so even though he can have someone do this for him, since there is no malacha, but he cannot pay him for it. And since he cannot pay him for the Shabbos day, so the worker is not responsible, since he's not being paid. It's as if he hadn't been hired as a watchman, and he's not responsible for anything that happens on Shabbos. However, if he was hired not by the day by day, but he was hired for a full week, or he was hired for a full year, he has to pay him for the full week or the full year. He does not deduct, since he's not paying here specifically for Shabbos, he's paying for a full week or a full year. He pays him the full thing and does not make any deductions for Shabbos, and therefore the worker is responsible for Shabbos. for what, anything that happens. However, when the worker, even in this case, when he comes to collect his wages, he cannot say, pay me for the Shabbos day. He must say to him, pay me for the year, or pay me for the last 10 days, or whatever, a period of time, but not specifically for Shabbos. Thank you for listening. Please listen tomorrow for chapter 7.